All right, to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. You pray for me, the Lord will help us and meet us in this altar. Luke 22 and verse number 47. Speaking of Jesus here. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Flip the page back if you got a Thompson chain to verse number 6. And he promised, this is speaking of Judas, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Verse number 47 said, behold, a multitude. Verse number 6 said, in the absence of the multitude. If the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach for a little while on you can't fake it till you make it. You can't fake it till you make it. Would you lift your hands and ask the Holy Ghost to anoint us here tonight? Lamb of God, we appreciate you for this meeting thus far, for your blessed presence that's been here. And we're asking you one last time right here tonight in this youth service to let your Holy Ghost anointing rest upon us. Touch every heart. Meet us in this altar is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look at this afternoon and as I was studying, I got this kind of laid and jotted down a few things. But as the Lord began to deal with my heart on this thought, when you look at this, verse 47, and really any time Judas Iscariot's name is mentioned, how many people in here tonight is named Judas? Not one of us. Anytime we think of Judas, our mind, we recall his treachery. We recall his betrayal of Christ. We recall his great sin. And we get this mental picture. I say we. I know I always have. When I hear the name Judas or when I read this text, I get a mental picture of a man just in my mind's eye. I see this sinister looking man. Maybe as you see these men like Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden and different ones, when you see them instantly, it's a face you recognize. It's a face of evil. There's a sinister grin. How many of you have ever seen a picture of the Grinch? The little green man, the Grinch that stole Christmas. I get that picture of Judas in my mind of a sinister-looking character with a wicked-looking grin as he goes in and out among the people. But really, as I begin to pray about this and look at this, for all of my life, I guess I've thought of Judas that way, of one you can just spot him. You know, there's some people, when you go into Walmart and you go in different places, you can look in their eye and you can look on their face and tell they're just full of the devil, and you can tell they're evil and they're wicked. But the more I prayed about this afternoon, really though, that's not the case with Judas at all. I know probably the majority of us, we've got that mindset, we've got that mentality of Judas, that Judas was the black sheep among the 12. That you could just take one look at Judas and realize that man didn't have any amount of God in him at all. That you could look at him and realize and instantly recognize that this man's up to no good. This man's a hypocrite. This man is going to betray Christ. But the more I read about Judas, I don't see any indication at all that that was the way with Judas at all. I look at him and I see that he looked like everybody else. Every other disciple, and I pray the Lord to help me tonight, every other disciple, Judas looked just like the rest of them. Judas didn't dress in all black from head to toe and have his fingernails painted black and have all of the gothic and all. Judas looked like everybody else did. The same way that Peter and James and John and Matthew and all of the other disciples looked. If you would have seen them, you would have been able to instantly tell that's one of Christ's disciples. Judas Iscariot, he did not have any feature, any character flaw, anything about him that would make you suspect in any way that he was any less of a disciple than anybody else. He acted like anybody else. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that I can find where it makes me think that Judas had an attitude, or Judas had a rebel spirit that everybody could see, or that he was arrogant or proud, or no, Judas acted like everybody else. As a matter of fact, when Christ sent them out two by two in pairs of two, Judas received the same power that every other of the disciples received. He had the same commission. He had the same power. He had the same authority. No doubt there were times that Judas performed some of the same miracles. We think about Judas is that fateful night when he went out, the Bible said, and it was dark, and he went out and he done the evil deed, but you gotta go back in the life of Judas. It wasn't always that way. He had a relationship. He had a commitment. He had a power of God about him that the rest of the disciples had as well. He wasn't the stepchild of the bunch. Every other disciple, that you got to understand, Judas had a position. He was the treasurer. None of the other disciples had that position, but they trusted Judas. They trusted him with the very money that would take to sustain their life. You gotta understand Judas. We've got a picture painted and we know the end of it. But that wasn't what everybody thought about Judas. We're looking back on it and we're seeing the hindsight of Judas and what he did. But that is not what everybody else seen when they seen Judas. They seen a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. They seen a trusted employee of the Lord. They seen one that carried the money bag. They seen one that when they were hungry, Judas, it was his responsibility to buy food for them. When they needed something, Judas was one that everybody looked up to. He wasn't one. We see him as this wicked, vile, wretched person. We don't want our kids named after him. He's wicked. But everybody else looked and said, man, that's Judas. He walks with Jesus. He's one of the 12. Out of the hundreds and thousands Christ could have picked, he picked Judas. You remember the Last Supper when Christ called him in and he said, one of you will betray me. There were no awkward glances toward Judas. There's a lot of times in church when a preacher preaches a message, we look out of the corner of our eye and see if they're really getting it. You know, we know who it's for. It's them. I know it's them. But nobody suspected Judas. And I pray if the Lord will help me, I'll get this across. If not, then it's gonna be rough tonight. But I feel a burden on my heart. Nobody suspected him. At the Last Supper, there, Peter and John didn't say, I know he's talking to Judas. You know how Judas has been acting. You know he ain't been doing right. No, nobody had any idea. As a matter of fact, they were more concerned that it was themselves than it was Judas. They thought they were more capable of failing than Judas was. They said, Lord, is it I? If anybody in this room is going to fail, it's going to be me. It's not going to be Judas. It'll never be Judas. I've got the utmost confidence in Judas. And oh, hallelujah. I see as Judas comes in the garden. You got to understand, we see him coming and up to Christ and kissing him. And we think, man, they're all standing around saying, what is he doing? I can't believe, but they don't know. It's not this kiss in the garden. We see it as this kiss of betrayal, and it was. But everybody looking on seen it as a pledge of loyalty. Everybody looking on, they didn't know this was going to happen just yet. They didn't know what Judas had done the night before. They see a follower of Christ proclaiming his love for the Savior. And we're looking at it like, I can't believe he's doing this. But nobody suspected him. Nobody thought it was Judas. He was just like everybody else. Well, I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost here. But I want you to look at verse 47. Behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. There was a gathering together. There was all the disciples. There were the followers of Christ. And in that company, in that congregation, Judas runs forward to proclaim and to pledge what everybody else thinks is his love for Christ. Remember now, the only one that knows about this is Jesus. The only one that knows right now is the Son of God and the ones he was with the night before. But notice verse number 6. Verse 47, there was a great multitude. But verse number 6, there was an absence of the multitude. And he sought opportunity to betray him. What's the significance of this? I mean, what does it really mean? It tells me that when everybody else was around, Judas was one person.
But when nobody else was around, Judas was another person. When everybody else was there, and Peter and James and John were there, and the disciples were there, it was, I love you, Jesus. Let me kiss you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. But when nobody else was around, he was a totally different person. He said, this is not really what I want to do. I really don't love Christ. I really don't like those other 11 men. I really don't want to be around them. I just don't want to look like the bad guy. I just don't want nobody to think bad of me. I don't want nobody to look down on me. So Judas, he was a great actor, and he knew how to put on the show, and he knew what was expected of the disciples of Christ. Therefore, in the presence of the multitude, he could convince any of the worst critic. He could convince them that he was a follower of the Lord. But as soon as he left the congregation, he turned into a different person. You got to realize, see, he knew as much about Jesus as all the rest. I got to get that point across. He wasn't an inferior disciple. He wasn't any less than the rest of them. Nobody suspected him. But see, he was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There were two sides to the man Judas. See, you have an advantage over me tonight somewhat, because you sit here on the pew and you look at me, and I'm out on a limb preaching what I'm fixing to preach, and nobody may know, and nobody suspects, and nobody even has any idea that you're where you're at. But I want to tell you, there is one that knows exactly where we're at, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's come into here this afternoon, and I come to preach to you that you can't fake it till you make it. You can't always pull the wool over the eyes of the Lord. You may fool everybody else. You may know how to come in and go undetected. You know as much about holiness and living for the Lord as anybody does. And this really is not what I've wanted to preach on the last night. But this is what God gave me. You know as much about holiness as anybody else. You know how to put on the show. You know how to lift your hands and how to worship. You know, if you think about, you know how to even get a tear to roll down your face. You know how to dress to keep the preacher off your back. You know the right things to say. You know what to do. You know when to move. Nobody even has any inkling of an idea. Nobody would even suspect it. You look like everybody else. You've been around it for years. You know about it. But I was in prayer this afternoon, and God began to deal with my heart. I want to know, do we have a Judas in the house? That when you're in the midst of the congregation, you're one way. But when you leave the house of God, you turn into a different person. When you leave the house of the Lord, you turn into a whole different human. It's a spirit that's rampant in the church world today. Young people, and I want you to understand, I'm for you. I love you. But I got to tell you, there's a spirit that's going wild in the church today. As young people, they've been around it for so long, and they've lost the fear of God, and they've lost the reverence of the house of God, and they can walk right into the house of the Lord and shout and speak in tongues and play the music and even get behind the pulpit. But when they leave the house of God, they have a change of clothes in the trunk of their car, and they go somewhere down the road, and they change into a different attire, and they get around a different group, and they become a different person, and they come back and they put back on the church, and they leave and they put on the world, and nobody even suspects it. It's not just in the young people. It's in middle-aged people. It's in ministry. In the past year, several years, we've heard more stories of people failing and people falling to sin and perversion and gross sin. And when it all comes out, they say, I've been doing it for years. But they preached in our holiness pulpits. And they preach like nobody's business. And they preach like the house is on fire. And nobody even suspected it, Brother Curtis Phillips, because they knew how to do it. And they knew how to preach, and they knew what to say. But when they left the house of God, one preacher's wife, after she run off and left him, she said, I was never even really saved at all. How is it that you can come in the house of God and be so bold and be so upfront that you can go out and sin and walk right back into the house of the Lord and act like you never done anything wrong? I'm not telling you something I think maybe, but what I know, that spirit is in the house of God today, in the holiness church, and our youth camps, and our camp meetings. Young people that go out on the weekends, and really, When I was growing up, 16, 17, 18, it seemed like it was more in the circles I run with, and when we, you know, it seemed like it was more slipping around, going to a ball game, which is bad. I'm not condoning that. Or going to the bowling alley or whatever. But now, from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing and what I'm confirming to be true, it seems like, and we know the Spirit is evident in the world, that sin has become more in your face. It's gotten more bold. It's come out of the closet. And we expect that from the world. But it seems like the things that some people are doing today and still naming the name of Christ, it's moved on and it's evolved from ball games or bowling alleys or a split skirt. But now, they're going out on the weekends, and they're going to drinking parties, and they're getting stone drunk, and they're getting hammered, and they're coming right back in on Sunday morning, and playing the music and speaking in tongues and shouting. I'm telling you, it's going on right in some of our churches, and nobody even suspects it. And maybe you think nobody even knows, and I'm a different person. I wear my long skirts to church and I look holiness, but I got a pair of pants in the trunk of my car, and I got my makeup in my car, and I run around with sinners and boys and this and that. I want to tell you, you ain't always going to be able to fake it. You ain't always going to be able to pull the wool over the eyes of the man of God. There'll come a time that the Holy Ghost will pull the covers off of it. Woo! Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. Young men, this phone that I've got right here, don't fall out with me. I can do everything on this phone that you can do in the room in your house. I've got full access to the internet. I can download and do any and everything that you can do at your house. But we got young men that's got that same phone. They're not full of the Holy Ghost, or they claim to be, but they're not. They're looking at pornography. Young men that are playing instruments in the Holiness Church, they're speaking in tongues. They're rolling in the floor and they're shouting, but they're looking at pornography and they're drinking. And I'm not guessing about this. I know it. I feel the Holy Ghost in my heart right now. I'm telling you, they're doing all of this stuff, and they're coming in and they look like everybody else, and nobody suspects them. And have you ever heard somebody that failed and you say, I never thought it would be them. I never dreamed. Why? Because they know how to do it. Young ladies that come in and look the part. They got long hair that's not trimmed. Their skirts are long. Their sleeves are long. Their shirts are high enough. They look the part. But when they leave, they have their other change of clothes. I mean, I've seen some of them. They're like quick change artists. I mean, boom, they're out the church to change. They're in a different group. Judas was one way around the disciples. But when he got around them other chief priests, they said, I don't even like them. I don't even want to go down there. I just don't want them to get on my case. I just don't want them to bother me. So I'm going to let them think I'm one thing, but I'm going to come around. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. That's where some young people are at in the house of God tonight. They're playing double roles. They're a double agent. Oh, hallelujah. But I want to tell you something, young person. It will catch up with you. Really, though, what I felt strong this afternoon, I got to hurry. Really, what I felt where it really gets dangerous is the book of Acts, chapter number 5. You know the story, Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody's selling their land and bringing it to the church and putting it at the apostles' feet. And Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't want to look bad. They didn't want nobody to think any less of them. So they, and really nobody did. I mean, from all accounts of that scripture, it looks like they were church members like anybody else. They went and sold the land. They brought it. He said, look, we're going to keep this part back. They had a conspiracy. You know the story. We're going to give this. Say we give it all. They did that, and really I felt like in prayer this afternoon where it really gets dangerous is what Ananias and Sapphira were saying is, look, you don't tell nobody what I'm doing, and I won't tell nobody what you're doing. Let's get in this together, because see, I've got dirt on you, and you've got dirt on me. So let's just both go back to church and don't tell nobody. And Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to pull that off. They went in there, boy, and their stories lined up. And I feel like that's where some of our young people are at. They're going out after church and doing things. And they see each other there. And maybe one of them's drinking. But this one knows I can't tell on him because he'll tell them I was here. I seen him at the bowling alley, but how did I know he was there? I seen him getting drunk. I seen him running around. I seen her in her britches. I seen her with her makeup. But I can't tell nobody because I'm just as guilty as they are. And there's a conspiracy right in the house of the Lord. But I want to tell you, you're not lying to the preacher and you're not lying to the youth pastor. But Peter said, why has Satan filled thine heart that you would lie to the Holy Ghost? It's a conspiracy. They all get together and they say, we're going to do this and don't tell nobody. They know what's going on. Some of you sitting on the sound of my voice, you know you've got friends that are doing things outside. I'm not just talking about things that are controversial that could be right or could be wrong. They're involved in sin. But you won't tell on them. You, and I'm not talking about being a rat. But listen, this is eternity. This is serious. You don't want to tell on them because maybe they've got some dirt on you. But see, they're lying to the Holy Ghost. Young people that they get together and you see them. I seen some people one time. I was pulling in to a place and I seen them driving by. These wasn't young people. These were older folks. I told my wife, I said, let's stop and say hey to them. All right, they're going to Old Charlie's. They drive past Old Charlie's in Prattville. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. They're going to Steak and Shake. We're going to run in there and we'll get an ice cream. We'll say hey. They drive past Steak and Shake. They're not going to Lowe's. Lowe's is closed. They pull into the movie theater. I said, "This no, no. They're picking somebody up." I'm not James Bond. I'm not a spy. I mean, my intentions were pure, but it just so happened that theirs weren't. So I said, "I'm not going to leave here and wonder. I'm not going to leave here." And then when I talk to the pastor, because I believe it's our responsibility at times to, you know, not eavesdrop and not be a gossip, but the man of God has a right to know what's going on in his church. I said, I'm gonna make sure. I watched him get out, walk right into the movie house. They come right back to the house. Come on here, young person. You may think you've got everybody fooled. You may think nobody knows about it. And maybe nobody doesn't. There's been times stuff has come up and I said, I wouldn't have believed it in a million years if you'd have told me. But I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is sees in the dark. And the Holy Ghost can see you when nobody else sees you. And all of your conspiracies and all of your gimmicks and all of your games that you're playing, they're going to come to an end one of these days. And I want to tell you something right here tonight. The Holy Ghost would much rather you pray through and him conceal what you've done than to spread it all. That's not the will of God. God doesn't get any pleasure, any glory out of pulling the cover off of your sin. He wants to keep it. He wants to, what's the Bible say? Love covereth the multitude. He'd love to keep it covered, but it's contingent on the fact that you've got to pray through about it. Preachers, young preachers, and I'm hurrying. Young preachers that I know that have got up in youth camps and preached. Young people I know has got up and sang at youth camps in various places that I've been. Brother Jim, I saw them speak in tongues. I saw them. But when I got outside and as a counselor at youth camps, I had the same walkie-talkies they had. And I was on the same channel they was on. And I heard young ladies say things that would make a grown man blush. I thought I was hearing stuff. I went and pushed the door in my young men's room. I said, am I hearing? Did you hear what I just heard? They said, I did. I went in those young men's room that was corresponding to them. I said, what in the world is wrong with y'all? What are y'all doing? Oh, it's no big deal. They didn't mean it like that. But about a year later, when that young girl come up expecting by a young preacher, I say she probably meant it that way. But there we you know, go ahead, preach. I mean, they're just putting on the show, and they're going on. But I want to tell you, it's only going to go on for so long. That's only going to fly for a little while, because you can't tell enough lies to cover your tracks. And you can't hide enough stuff, because God has a way of getting around the conspiracy and going over the hidden things. And God has a way of talking to men of God and letting them know exactly what's went on right in the darkness of night when you thought nobody knows about it. But God knows about it. Can you see the look on these people's face? Well, you, can you see the look on their face in this scripture when Jesus, when they come to Jesus and Judas comes and he kisses the Lord and they're thinking, boy, he sure does love the Lord. And Jesus says, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Can you see the look on everybody else's face? Not Judas. It can't be Judas. Boy, I've wept my eyes out and cried about young people when I seen the direction they were going. And I said, I never dreamed in a million years it was them. And don't take me wrong here, but they didn't come from a roughneck part of town. And they didn't come from broken, busted homes. They weren't used to cussing and fighting and hypocrisy. They come from good homes where mom and daddy loved them, where they stood behind. They didn't come from a home and talked about every preacher they had and run down holiness. They come from good Bible-believing homes, but something got in their heart that they thought they could play both sides of the fence, and it ended up ruining their life. I'm about to close. My pastor was preaching revival at Brother Jerry Turner's church. He's told it a multitude of times. Maybe some of you have heard it. He got up to the pulpit one night to preach, just like right here. And if I remember the story right, Brother Rick said, he was going to read his text, and he began to tremble, and he began to shake. And the Holy Ghost fell in that service like a cloud. Brother Jerry Turner, Sister Turner, give out a message in tongues. And during that message, she began to laugh. That eerie laugh. I can't do it or I would. Brother Turner interpreted the message, and the Holy Ghost said, what went through it, but then he said, I'll always have the last laugh. And my pastor said that the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said there were young people right there that within 2 hours of the service the previous night, they were out and they were involved in sin, and they were laughing about it. But the Holy Ghost said, I'll always have the last laugh. I want to tell you something, young person. You may fool mama, and you may fool daddy. You may pull it over Brother Bridges. You may get it past everybody in this tabernacle. But there's going to come, I'm going to tell you right now, you say, oh, preacher, you put me on the spot. I can't come to the altar and pray. They'll know. No, they won't know near as much as they will when the Holy Ghost reveals it. If you keep pushing God and you keep walking across the mercy of God, and then when it splashed all across America, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, I heard about him. It's awful. But I know of young people right now tonight that were doing some of the same things, but they prayed through about it and nobody ever found out about it. I want to tell you, it's up to you, young person. You can pray through about it and let God cover it, or you can keep on going and let the Holy Ghost reveal it. You think news travels fast on Facebook? You think news travels fast on? You let the Holy Ghost tell something. You let the Holy Ghost tell the man of God, and then he gets up and says, thus saith the Lord. You can't get up under the pew fast enough. But see, that's what I love about the Lord. He don't want to, some people love to tell stuff. Some people, they get a kick out of it. I'm telling this, and I'm closing, I promise. I was with Brother Steve one time at a meeting, and this brother come up after church, said, Brother Steve, he said, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear? Brother Steve was acting like he didn't even hear him. He wanted. That's, man, some people love to tell stuff, but the Holy Ghost don't. He don't want to embarrass you. He don't want to pull the rug out from under you. But more than he don't want that, he don't want you to go to hell. And if it takes ruining your name, if it takes everybody in the country knowing what you did to keep you from going to hell, he'll do it. But oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. If I were you tonight, I'd find me an altar of prayer and I'd beg God with everything that was in me to forgive me. Lord, I've been playing games, God. I've been trying to pull the wool, and I'm tired of playing games. I want to tell you, young person, the burden of my heart, you can't keep it here. You can't fake it. There'll come a time God will reveal it. Would you stand with me tonight? Somebody get us a song, if they would. Sabrina, Hope. I'm telling you what, I told Brother Rick this afternoon, he said, you got something to preach? I said, no, sir, I don't. And I didn't until right before service. And I was praying, I said, God, my heart, I'm seeing this going on, and not just in our area, but I'm seeing it going on in different places. I'm seeing young people I love destroyed. And I'm wondering, God, back then, before that, was there something that could have been done? Or was there something that could have? I said, God, that's where I want to be at tonight. Because I don't want to see another young person ruin their reputation, ruin their life. Young preachers ruining their ministry before it ever gets off the ground by infidelity, fornication. It's going on. It's happening. You know better than I do that it's going on and that it's happening. But I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost come to talk to somebody tonight. You better get serious with the Lord. You better quit playing games with God and find an altar prayer. You got a friend that's playing games? You better stay away from them. You better talk to somebody. You say, I don't want to be a rat preacher. I don't want them to hate me. They'll hate you a lot worse if they die lost and go to hell. They'll hate you a lot worse when everything in their life is ruined and nobody tried to stop it. Would you bow your head tonight? We're going to have an altar. Lamb of God, I've done my best. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't want to put you on the spot. But I say, preacher, I'm not exactly where I need to be. We'll put it that way. I'm not exactly where I need to be with God. I don't want to ruin my life. I don't want to ruin my reputation. I don't want to go to hell. But I'm not where I need to be. Would you be man enough? Would you be woman enough? You're around a group of people that love you tonight. Them people that sold Judas out when he come back, they said, we don't care. Your friends out there, they don't care. But you're around a group of people that love you. Would you be willing to step out and come to this altar right here and say, I need help from God. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And I need to make it right. I don't really feel like I missed it tonight. I really don't. I feel the Holy Ghost right here as strong as I've ever felt Him. And He's wanting to help some young people get it right with God tonight. Here's there one, you'd step out quickly and come to this altar. Anywhere in the house. Come on, that's right. Now, I don't want you to take it that you're necessarily in the dregs of sin. But some of you, that's where you may be headed if you don't quit playing church. Come on here. We got young people coming. Oh, praise the Lord. Is there any more? I feel like there's a young man right here tonight. You need to step out and come to this altar. You ain't been true to God. You're not being what you that you're proclaiming to be. And you need to get it right with the Lord. Would you come? Maybe you got friends right here tonight. You're doing good, but you got friends you know are struggling. You got friends you know are doing wrong. I want you to come to this altar and beg God to help them. And ask God, Lord, what do I need to do about it? Is there anybody else? Preacher, I need help. I got friends that are in trouble. They need help. All right, young people, let's all gather in this altar. Everyone that would, let's come to this altar tonight. Mom, Dad, youth pastor, preacher, let's get behind these young people.